Now we're turning this evening to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We're coming to our final message in the first chapter. There's many messages to go yet. We're coming consecutively through the Gospel of Mark, but we're coming now to the end of Mark chapter 1. It is my prayer that the Lord will give you a great love for the Gospel of Mark. I believe that if we can understand what is going on in the Gospel of Mark, then we have a tremendous advantage to understanding all of the Gospels, because Mark, some have referred to him as being the junior Gospel. He's far from it, but because of his brevity, he doesn't spend long. He's not giving copious verses dealing with different aspects of the life of Christ, but he just simply comes and gives aspects. We're going to read here from the verse number 40, please. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Amen. Amen. Now, there's absolutely no doubt that the most feared of all diseases in the times of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he lived during his life on earth, was that of leprosy. Now, it may be hard for us in these days to maybe comprehend just how fearful that disease was, Hansen's disease, as it is now known, to give it its title today. Yet it was a common, feared, devastating infection that ravaged the body, causing a person's skin to break out in sores. It was a disease that was considered to be highly infectious and without cure. And in order to understand what's going on here in this latter part of chapter 1, we must remember that for this man who was described here only as being a leper who came to Christ, for him to be diagnosed with this disease, whatever point that took place, there were many, many terrible ramifications. There were social implications. There were spiritual implications. There were physical implications. And we need to look at this, because when we look at the miracles of Jesus Christ, and we already looked at some of these miracles in Mark, such as the raising of Simon's wife's mother. But we're coming here to look at this, the healing of the leper tonight. And I want us to sit, and I want us to look at it, and I want us to look at the details, and I want us to see just how significant the healing of this leper was in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look, go back to verse 37 and verse 38. Do you remember how Peter came to the Lord and said, Peter said, Lord, you must come back to Capernaum, because all men seek for thee. And there were many, many people gathering outside the door of Peter's home, and they were looking for cures. They were looking to be healed. We know that, because that's what Peter said to them. But the Lord actually responds to that and says, he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And the Lord's ministry was not going to be a healing ministry. It was a preaching ministry. Go back there to chapter 1 and look at the words of verse 14. When Christ's ministry began in the region of Galilee, it says that Christ came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's why Christ came. Now, I know we're living in days when there's many, many miracle workers about you. Benny Hinn, Rodney Hardbrown, you've all these different guys around the country, and they're proclaimed self-styled miracle workers. In fact, they're in our own province. They're all over the place. And yet when we come to the ministry of Christ, you will find that Jesus Christ did not push healing to the top of his agenda, because healing, and this may take a little time to sink in this evening, but it is true nonetheless, that Jesus Christ healed, Jesus Christ performed miracles, not to prove he was God, not to prove or not to get a man to believe in the gospel. He never did that. The miracles were never performed in order to have men stand back and go, "Whoa, we must now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved." The Lord never did that, never once. The miracles were performed to give testimony to who he was. You go to John's gospel and you find that my works testify who I am. My Father testifies who I am. My words testify to who I am. The Lord was coming not to try and sell himself to the people, but he demonstrated from time to time these miracles to prove that he truly was who he said he was. So it's wrong for any minister to say that healing is the top of the agenda. Now, we pray for healing. And God has given the church commandment to pray for those, to pray for the sick. If any man be sick, let him call for the elders, pray for him, and so on. We're not going to go down into this tonight, but I want you to see something here. That this event that we read of here in chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, most likely took place when Jesus Christ was going on a preaching circuit of the towns and villages after speaking those words to Peter. "Peter, let's go into the next towns. Let's go into the next villages. Let us go preaching." And we're told that as he goes preaching, look at verse 39, "And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils, and there came a leper." There came a leper to him. Notice the emphasis on Christ. The leper came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him. It was all about Christ. It was all about the ministry of Christ. It wasn't about this man. Do you see the difference here in those men who were at the door of Peter's home? "All men seek for thee." They were not seeking for Christ. They were seeking for a cure. They were seeking to be relieved of their maladies, whatever they might have been, that they could get back to doing what they could normally do. But this man's different. This man comes beseeching Christ, kneeling down before Christ, saying unto Christ, coming to Christ. But yet the thing is, he's a leper. Now, if we had the time, and as a vast portion of Scripture, Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14 is a huge chunk of Scripture. But when you go to Leviticus 13 and 14, you will find that there is all these different laws of Moses dealing with lepers. He was not allowed to come within so many feet of people. In fact, on a windy day when the wind was blowing a certain direction, he was not allowed to come within 150 feet, 50 yards, of another human being. He had to cover his lip with a piece of cloth, and he had to go around crying, "Unclean, unclean." He was not allowed to come into certain areas. He could never enter the temple and offer a sacrifice. He was not allowed to be touched. The misery of a man who was a leper was beyond our comprehension. And yet we need to understand that. You know, I'll just give you a little background what happened here. When a man discovered something on his skin that maybe wasn't right, he had to go to the priest. Now, there were hundreds, maybe dozens, I don't know. We're told there was at least 72 different types of leprosy, some that disappeared after a period of time. But we're told that the man discovering a piece of skin that was not looking right, he had to go to the priest and show it to the priest. And if the priest didn't like the look of it, he quarantined the man for 7 days. And if after 7 days the skin had cleared up, he was allowed to go home. He was pronounced clean. But if the skin condition didn't go away, he was quarantined for another 7 days. And at the end of those 14 days, the priest would come again and examine him. And if he was found to be having the disease of leprosy, then these different laws of Moses came in upon him. He felt the weight of the law. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his job. He had to leave his community. He couldn't live within any of the walled cities of the region. He couldn't enter Jerusalem. He couldn't go into the temple. He felt the weight of the law. The weight of the law. This was the worst possible news a man could receive. A married man, taken away from his children, taken away from his wife, taken away from the things that he loved, put yourself into the sorry state of this man tonight. Whoever he was, we're not told what he was or where he come from, but we're simply told he was a leper. And it doesn't just mean that he had a skin condition. This man felt the social aspects, the spiritual aspects, the physical aspects. You know, leprosy is an awful disease. Dr. Bill Woods, some of you may know Bill, dealt with these men for many, many years out in Brazil, in the Amazon forest, out in the Acre. And you know how it debilitates the fingers and you can't feel, and people would burn themselves and rats would eat the ends of the feet and the toes during the night, and a man would even feel it. The picture here is a man who was just a stinking, rotting, living corpse. His flesh was stinking. The Bible tells, read it sometime, Leviticus 13, he had to have disheveled hair. He had to have a rugged countenance. He had to tear his clothes. He had to look. He had to be identified. And that's how he was identified. And that was the misery of this leper. But we find here that when you come, I want you, knowing what we do know now, come to Mark chapter 1 and to verse number 40. And we're told here that there came a leper to Jesus. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down before him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean here. Now you want to notice something here very quickly, that this man broke all the laws of Moses. He was not allowed to do this. He shouldn't have come to Christ. He was barred by the law of Moses by coming to Christ. But in fact, on top of that, and we will find this as we study the Gospel of Mark, that the rabbis, and I want to use a term here, the rabbinical law, that's the rabbis, Moses, we refer to the law of Moses as the Mosaic law, it just simply means the law of Moses. But then you had the rabbinical law, and this was the law of the rabbis, and they came and they added to the misery of the leper. For every law that Moses had in Leviticus 13, the rabbis would have had another 10 laws, hundreds of laws. In fact, a rabbi wouldn't even buy fruit in a street where a known leper had walked through. The rabbis were well known for casting stones and throwing stones at those poor men or women. You know, I don't want to jump the application here. But when Jesus met this man, Jesus met a man in a miserable condition. And it says in the Bible here, the Lord had compassion on him. You know why? Not only because of his condition, but because of the rabbinical law that prohibited this man doing almost anything. Jesus Christ despised the law of these men. Now, he loved the law of God. He came to fulfill the law, and we know that. But this will come all too apparent when Jesus Christ, when he had all these Pharisees and rabbis looking on and wondering, well, what will Jesus do with this man? This man has broken the law of Moses, and he's broken our laws, but Jesus Christ reaches forth, and he touches this man. The law of Moses forbade any man who was not a leper touching a leper. And Jesus Christ is seen here to go against the law of Moses. He shouldn't have done this, and he shouldn't have done that. But he did. Look at the words there in verse number 41. It says, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Jesus was moved. Jesus was moved with compassion. You will notice here the leper cried. The leper's cry. Look what this man says. It says in verse 41:40, there came a leper, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He cried. This was a cry from this poor man. He cried unto the Lord for help. He cried to him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, I want to take a few moments and look at that man's cry for a moment. Because you know what? That man's cry indicates to you and I the presence of faith. The presence of faith. No man comes to Christ seeking help unless there's faith. He comes to Jesus Christ. And I want you to get a hold of this, because this man had either heard of Christ's power to heal or he had witnessed it with his own two eyes, what the Lord had done for those who had all manner of diseases, we're told, and he is absolutely convinced of the Lord's ability to heal him, but he comes in faith believing that Jesus not only had the ability, but Jesus could heal him. And Jesus would heal him if Christ would do this. And this man comes in great faith. He believes in the power of Christ, that even with a touch, a glance, a single word, that Christ can heal his miserable condition. You know something? There's something you need to understand here. Look again at verse 40. That this man, though he had a presence of great faith, his faith was in Christ. You know, can I just say to you this evening that faith always has an object. Faith always has an object. In other words, faith rests in something. People say, I've got faith. Well, now you close your eyes, and what do you have faith in? Faith has a resting place. We sing that. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one whose wounds for me shall plead. I have a faith. The unbelieving man has a faith. The devils have a faith. But saving faith rests in Jesus Christ. And man or woman tonight, you need to understand that the faith that saves rests on Jesus Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit records those words, that the leper came to him. The leper besought him. The leper knelt down before him. He said unto him, he cried unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What a cry. What a cry. What a faith this man had. He comes with faith, and his faith linked him to Jesus Christ. If your faith does not link you to Jesus Christ, then you do not have saving faith. You may have faith in something else. You may have faith in someone else or some other thing, but if you have not saving faith that links you to Jesus Christ, then you do not have faith. You can have knowledge of Christ. That is not faith. I heard an illustration once of, hopefully nobody will ever have to go for an IV blood transfusion, but if you were to go for something like that, you know the blood's there in the hospital. And you know it can save your life. You know you need it. But unless you're linked to it, it's no use to you. There's no saving link. And yet when a doctor comes and he puts that thing in your arm and he links you up to it, you're now linked to that. You're linked to that which can save you. Faith is more than knowledge. It's more than just understanding. It is a possession. This man laid hold on Christ. You know, there's much for what passes today in preaching that's nothing more than temporal faith, the preaching of temporal faith. And that's why I was saying earlier that we need to be very careful that when we're speaking to people that we direct them to Christ and not to something else. I remember a story, it was not a story, it was a young man I knew very well. Thank the Lord this young man's a saved young man now. But there was a time in his life whenever he was just one of those men that just would not listen. Drove cars to the maximum speed limit, wrecked cars, car after car. Thought it was a great joke until one night he had a serious road traffic accident. And he lay in the hospital dying, basically dying. And men were coming and saying, you know, you need to get saved. And he did need to get saved. And people were saying, well, you know, hopefully this accident will speak to him. Speak to him. And whatever happened to that young man, I remember the news coming through that he'd get saved at that time. But all he wanted was to get better. He said it to please his parents and his minister and those who knew him. And he got out of that hospital bed after a number of months and back in behind the wheel of the car. And for years he lived a life. It was just a life he lived before. That man had not saving faith. That man had something that was based upon emotions. Emotions. With no link to Christ. That's why I urge you tonight, men and women, it is faith in Jesus. and Christ alone that can save you. There's no point piling the pressure onto the child. And we do encourage our children, young at age, come to Christ and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all thy heart. But, oh, parents, be very, very careful that they are not doing it to please you. But be insured and pray over that profession of faith. Men and women, you can do that. When a little child professes faith, do not despise it. But pray over it. And pray and say, Lord, make this young man what he has professed with his mouth, the possession of the heart. Link him to Christ. Give him saving faith, or make it real to us and real to him that is saving faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the preaching of Christ. You see, this man, he comes to Christ. And here's how we know it was real faith. Because he was under no illusions of his own miserable condition. He knew he was a leper, and he throws the law of Moses to his side, and he runs to Christ, and he falls before Christ, and he prays to Christ. I can tell you, if this man had any illusions of his miserable condition, all he had to do was raise a stumped hand or a stumped foot and look at his body and the mess that he was in, and he would be reminded of his miserable condition. Moreover, the rest of the Pharisees and the rabbis were there to remind him. Oh, they were. But you see, he had a knowledge of his own condition, and you need that, sinner. And you need a knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of who Christ is. You know that you can't be saved without that. You cannot be saved without a faith that saves. You cannot be saved without a faith, or you cannot be saved without a knowledge of your own condition. And you can't become a Christian without a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And if this man comes and he says, Lord, look at the words in verse 40, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Thou canst. You, Lord, can make me clean. All it takes is a word. All it takes is a glance, O Lord, and you can make me clean. And he comes, and his knowledge brings him kneeling before the Lord. He kneels down. You know those words that resonate with Paul's words in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, when he said, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that thou art Lord. This man comes, and he places himself under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what I love about that. You know, John MacArthur found himself in a great controversy years ago. It was called the Lordship Controversy. A lot of it was said about him was not true. He was not preaching a gospel that says, I can take Jesus as my Savior, and I can decide if I want to take him as my Lord. You know, that's what many people want tonight. I want to take Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're saying to yourself, I'm happy, preacher, to take God as my Savior, but I don't want him as my Lord. I want to go back out tomorrow and do the things I want to do. I want to live my life the way I want to do. I want to live according to my laws. I want to do my thing. And I'm happy to know if I'm getting a get-out-of-hell-free card. That's what I want. As long as hell's taken care of at the end of my life, let me live the way I want. Salvation doesn't work that way. This man comes and he kneels before Christ. You know why? Because he was willing to put himself under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been studying in this Gospel of Mark. It's about the authority. You remember the Jews in the synagogue at Capernaum, what did they say? This man, he speaks with an authority. He speaks with a new authority, not as the scribes. And this man no doubt heard about it, saw it with his own eyes, but he comes and he falls before Christ, and he acknowledges who Christ is, he acknowledges his own condition, and he shows a willingness to submit to Christ's authority. Lord, if thou wilt. Turn over, please, to the Gospel of Mark. Luke. I think it's Luke. Maybe I've got this wrong. Could be Matthew. I think it's possibly Luke. If it's not, we're going to have to go to Matthew, Luke chapter 5. And the verse number 13. No, 12. This is exactly the same passage. It says, it came to pass, Luke 5 verse 12, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold a man. I want you to notice something here. Here's Dr. Luke, the physician. You know what he says? He says something that Mark doesn't tell us, full of leprosy. He was full. He wasn't a leper. That's what Mark says. There was a leper. But look at the words of Luke. the doctor, the physician. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. He was filled with leprosy, overcome, destroyed completely, socially, physically, medically, spiritually. But it says, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Mark doesn't give those details, but I'm saying to you, he comes and he acknowledges, Lord, I am willing to place myself under your kingship. That is the gospel, men and women. Jesus Christ came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus Christ wants tonight. He wants young men, young women like you, older people like you, to come and fall beneath him and say, I am willing, Lord Jesus, to give thee all my sin. That's salvation. That's coming to Christ. That's seeking Christ. And finally, we look at this here. You see the Lord's compassion in this man. Two simple points. This man's cry, the leper's cry, the Lord's compassion. We could throw in a third later on, the leper's cleansing. But let's just look at this. The Lord's compassion. What does the Lord do? It says, the Lord was moved with compassion and put forth his hand upon him. You know, as Mark's gospel proceeds, you know what we will discover? A rupture opening up between Judaism and Jesus Christ. You will find a chasm opening up between the Lord and the Jewish authorities, because Christ's as Christ's ministry extends, so does the distance between the Lord's ministry and the rabbis and the Jews and the religious leaders. They hate him, for he's going against all their rabbinical teachings, all the teachings of the rabbi. And in spite of all the good that Christ does, men continue to set themselves against him in absolute hatred. I repeat it again. This man was not allowed. He was forbade by the rabbis from coming into contact with any man. And so was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was forbidden to put his hand forth and touch this man. But yet we find the Lord has compassion, and it says he touched him. He reached out and he touched him. You know, there's some commentators, and I would go along with them here, some of the older manuscripts that we have for our Bible, they include a word here that actually means anger. Look at the word there in verse 41. And Jesus moved with anger. Not at the leper. But what have I been teaching you all these weeks? The absolute hatred of Christ for Satan, for the physical effects that the fall has brought in. And it's almost as if Christ looks at this man with anger towards this, the leprosy and the sinful condition, the awful condition this man is in. And yet there is this compassion. There is a compassion. The Lord is moved. The Lord was indignant at the ravages sin has caused in the world and in this man. And the Lord looks at this man who is full of leprosy, and the Lord is compassionate. His heart is moved. His whole being is moved inwardly for this man who's caught up in this devastation. And I thank God tonight that Jesus Christ has a heart like that for men. I can say that to you with all authority tonight. That the feeling of Christ's heart, compassion, it soon turns to action. And what we read, it says Jesus was moved and he put forth his hand and he touched him. He touched him. You know, Christ broke every law of the rabbis, and he broke every law that Moses gave. Was he wrong? He said, I come to do the will of my Father. I have not come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. And that was, remember the words that John the Baptist, when John came to baptize Christ, the Lord said, John, you must baptize me. And John says, I can't baptize you. And the Lord says, you must baptize me, for I have come to fulfill the law of righteousness. Every jot, every tittle of the law must be fulfilled. And I as a man must do that. And Jesus Christ, he touches this man. He breaks the law of Moses. But you know, Jesus Christ did that out of compassion. Have you ever come across a car traffic accident, road traffic accident, with the traffic lights, and there's a backup of cars, and up above you can see the policeman standing, and what's he doing? You see the red light, and you don't go through the red light when the policeman's standing, but he's looking at you and he's going like this. He waves you through the red light. He breaks the law. You can't go through that red light, but do you see how the presence of the law supersedes the written law? By the police officer being present, that's really what it is. The presence of the police officer supersedes the written law. So you, what do you do? Do you obey? Do you stop and say, I'm not moving? Do you obey the embodiment of the law, the policeman standing in front of you saying, come through this red light? Or you stop and you say, no, what is written? I read my highway code as we all did. You obey the embodiment of the law and you go through the red light. Jesus Christ is the lawgiver. And he did not come to break the law, but he comes as the lawgiver and he lays his hand on this man and he shows his willingness to heal this man. Very quickly look at it, the Lord's touch. Why did Jesus touch this man? Now, when you think about it, here was a man standing in front of him. Picture it. A stinking man whose flesh was falling off him. Maybe no fingers, stumps for his feet. Maybe moving along with help of some crutches. And he's crying, his face, the skin falling off his face. The foul smell of this man. And Jesus reaches forth and puts his hand on him and touches him. That's what that man needed. That's what that man needed. That man maybe never had been touched for many, many years. Maybe he had a wife, children. Hadn't been hugged or touched in years. But the Lord reaches forth and he touches him and says, man, I will be thou clean. He asked the question, Lord, I know you can heal me if you want to. And the Lord says, well, you know what? I'm going to show you my willingness to heal you by touching you. And the Lord touched him. Now, why would the Lord touch him if the Lord was not going to heal him? But he touched him and he healed him. You know, I think of that old hymn we often sing, come ye sinners, lost and needy, or poor and needy. Weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, love, and power, he is able, he is able. He is willing, doubt no more. He is willing, doubt no more. Then all of a sudden, we're told as soon as the Lord had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. He was cleansed. He was cleansed. He was healed instantaneously. I don't know what condition that man came to the Lord in, but I can tell you this, he went away cleansed. Did the fingers grow back? Did the hair grow back? Whatever condition. We're told he went away cleansed. And you know something? If you're not a Christian and you're not saved, I'm saying to you tonight, don't you come and say, I'm too far gone for the Lord to do anything, because the Lord can save you. The Lord can cleanse you. The Lord can heal you. And he will. And yet when this man comes and he puts his faith in Christ and the Lord touches him, showing compassion on him, the Lord cleansed him and the man goes away perfect, whole. Now, the Lord gives him a command. This is very interesting. With this, I close. He says, I want you to say nothing. And I want you to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to walk the 90 miles or whatever, how far it was. And I want you to tell the priest. In fact, show yourself to the priest. And what's the Lord doing? He's taking them back to the law of God. In fact, the Lord says to him here, I want you to show yourself to the priest for a testimony. Let us be clear. The Lord was not wanting to silence this man. I don't want you to tell anybody. There were hundreds of people standing around. There was dozens and dozens of people, rabbis and maybe even some priests. There were many religious leaders there that day, you can be absolutely sure. And they saw Christ preach. They saw Christ teach. They saw Christ heal this man. And you can be sure they were off like a rocket. You know how news travels. And they go and they tell people. But the Lord looks at this man and says, I don't want you to say a thing. I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to show yourself to the priest. For you see, that was the law of Moses. Whenever a man was cleansed, he had to go back to the priest. And he had to show himself to the priest. And the priest had to declare him clean. Clean. Sadly, the man didn't do that. He was overjoyed at his cleansing. He doesn't go back to the priest. He goes the other way. He made it difficult for Christ because we're told that the Lord could not go into the city. Shows you when we disobey the Lord that we have implications. But the man was cleansed. And I'm sure he did go to the priest eventually. But he went there at the command of Christ to be told, you're now clean. The law condemned this man. I want you to understand something here. The law of God condemned that man. The law of God couldn't do anything for that man. The law of God couldn't cleanse this man. This man, all the law could tell this man is, you're unclean. You must leave your family, leave your community, leave your city, go. That's all the law could do. You can't return. But the man now being cleansed by Christ, he goes back to the law, and the law must declare him, they are clean. You're free. You can go back to your family. You can go back to the temple. You can go and worship the Lord. You know, that's the glorious beauty of the gospel. I said this to you last Sunday night, that Jesus Christ, or I should say the law of God, drives you to Christ because the law can't do anything for you. The law of God can't save you. But it drives you to Jesus. And then Jesus drives you back to the law, and the law says, you know what? I am satisfied. You're clean. Go home. Oh, I love Top Lady's hymn. The law of God with me can have nothing to do. You know why? For the Savior's obedience and his blood hide all my transgressions from view. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine. Payment God cannot twice demand. When that man went back to the priest couldn't say, no, I'm sorry, you're still unclean. Couldn't do that. When you stand in heaven, dear believer, the law of God is present because Christ is the embodiment of the law, like the policeman standing. Young children, when you look at the policeman, he is the law. When you get to heaven and you see Christ standing, he is the law. And the law with you is finished. The law with you is finished. You're free. Free from the law. Happy condition. Jesus has died. Praise God, there is remission. May God bless this word.